May be seated. We move expeditiously into our context this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to do a little reprising because we've been away from this for a week or so. And so now, as we come back from our interlude, I find it incumbent to do a little bit of reprising this morning. At the top of page 12 of our document, and of course, a document for those that are listening, amen, receiving this message via our webcast, you go to our website, www.gracegospelministries.com.org, and there, in either the audio or the video sector, you'll find the scripting of this document, and you put your cursor on it and click, and up comes the entire document. It becomes very helpful in following us through our discourse. A document per se and theme, repeat after me, we're in volume 2 of Scripture Distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. And here, as we move forward, we do so slowly and meticulously because actually to get the complete picture, understanding, and also to focus into the essence of things, we must divide, separate, what is illusional from what is fact. And here we have been dealing with, I call them the two P's, purpose and process. When we speak of purpose, we are distinguishing it. And when you hear it, we automatically go to its ultimate source, which is God, God's purpose. So whenever we talk about purpose, you hear purpose, we're talking about God's purpose. We don't really have one. No, you know that. I mean, what's that? The 14th chapter of Romans speaks to the end. What? That whether we live or whether we live is what? It's to the Lord. And when we die is what? It's to the Lord. His purpose. His purpose. So whether we live or die, it's to his purpose. It's to the Lord. It's the purpose of God. The bottom line is we belong to the Lord. And so when we use that term, processes is humanism's attempt to define things as they are reflected, but more often refracted. And when we don't acknowledge the origination and source of things as God's purpose, then we have a clueless entry that's just pulled out of the sky. If it didn't come from God, where did it come from? Well, listen, we were not going to try to answer that. We're just going to take the clue and run with it. That's what the processes are. In other words, let's get to the how. Don't worry about the why. But when we deal with actualization in eternity, what we're doing is acknowledging that God has a plan.
Amen.
Amen.
He
has an agenda.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
God has a desire.
Yes, indeed.
For everything. Now when we look around in time and we start to observe in things and processes, we're strictly into manifestations in time. And here we're saying the scripture distinguishes the two.
Yes, indeed.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Amen.
Hebrews 11 and 3. Speaks of, well, let's go there for a second. Elder, no, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Brother Deacon, just read for the sake of time. We've been here before, and actually we're going to be going there many times again. I mean, amen. But there's some that we want to know why.
Yes, that's right.
In relationship to the origination of things. Read.
We're reading from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 3, interlinear Greek text. By faith we understand to have been created out of things appearing, created the ages by a word of God, so as not out of things appearing, the thing being seen to have become.
All right, now, very slowly here. Let's go to the Greek interlinear. Now, for those that are following us, here at the Grace Gospel Church ministry, we utilize the Greek interlinear. Of course, we go a little further than that. We actually get into exegesis. But at least this document, interlinear, the author of it, the preparer of it, feet held closer to the fire. He can't go all over the place. Because you have the Greek scripting there and the English word right under it. And if he does any variation, he has to at least put some type of a footnote there to let you know I'm going off the track. All right. Other thing is, from time to time, we will convey that here at the Grace Gospel Church Ministry, we utilize the modern Greek pronunciation in lieu of Erasmus. All right. With that in place, Brother Deacon Reed.
Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Greek interlinear. By faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a word of God. So as not out of things appearing, the thing being seen to have become.
All right, now you see why we exegete. Amen. First thing is, when you're dealing with purpose, when you're dealing with origination, you're not dealing with the scene.
Nope. That's it.
It is long before something is seen. And so, you're not at the origination point when you're dealing with the scene. This is why in 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, it tells us that's not what we're not looking at the scene. The origination goes back to the essence of why it's there. A Colossians 1:16, in him, through him, for him. That's the reason. Because that's what God decreed. God said it. That's your answer. Some will say, well, when did he? Amen. Eternity has no sequencing.
That's it.
Most of God's people have been taught to trace their fortunes back to 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Amen. The grace contract, everybody say the grace contract.
Grace contract.
Takes us to eternity. Eternality. There is no sequencing. There is no yesterday, today, tomorrow. Those are all time factors. Eternality. Where everything is. And always will be, because nothing changes. Eternity. And so, as we look at this 11th chapter, verse 3, it gives the illustration as to the origin of everything that's around you. But it's careful to point out that you don't start with the same. By faith, we understand. And outside of faith, you won't understand. That's why this is foolishness to many.
Bring it out.
So I'm going to go back to the pre-Big Bang. And I'm not ridiculing them. I mean, you know, if God doesn't give us this information and this comprehension of this information, we won't understand either. And that's where we'll be. But when you talk about origination, one word, God. God. It starts with God. And it tells us here that all of the ages can trace their origination and root back to one thing.
One thing.
Here we have the Greek word katatistē, which kata means what?
According to.
And even you go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, you have the same word. It's in the aorist tense, so it's tistē. Tistē, that's creation. And here, well, Deacon, I think I'm looking at, it's in the perfect tense.
Yes, it.
Perfect tense, which means it is because it was. When? In eternity. So all of the ages were created, all in the ages were and are, because of a sin of God. And so that the thing that is revealed or known or magnified in existence. I think that last word there, it's also in the perfect tense. In fact, I know it is. Was and is. It tells you it didn't come out of what's seen. You're not going to pull out of origination the seen.
No.
It's the same. According to a saying. In other words, it's there because God declared it, God decreed it, God said it. Long before we ever saw it. Oh, give him praise this morning. Many times when the Holy Spirit brings that to my heart, it causes me to settle down. When things jump off, and our first reaction is, then the Holy Spirit comes and say, hey, I put that there.
Ooh, hallelujah.
For purpose. For purpose. Now we move to the section here in our dissertation that conveys in verse 9 at the top the theme, and repeat after me, relativism. In scripture ontology.
In
Pastor, why are we just, just listen. The word relativism simply means how a thing relates. And if we're in the scriptures, ontology means what? One word. Existence. So, how do the scriptures relate existence to God? That's what it is. Relativism, how existence scripturally relate to God. Repeat after me. How the scriptures
relate existence.
And the answer is to God. So how the scriptures relate existence is to God. So the scriptures are, so existence is scripturally related to God. Scientists won't go there. Let's go to the top of page 12. I think that's where we left off last week. And I'm going to walk through this slowly. Now, I had said at the beginning of the year when I addressed you in the New Year's pastoral address, that we will be dealing quite a bit with the word relativism. Let's say it again, relativism.
Relativism.
And anytime you hear that word and we are conveying it, automatically we're talking about how things relate to God. How existence relate to God. How your life relate to God.
Amen.
How everything that's around you relate to God.
Yes.
And not to us. Your life is not about you.
Not.
Listen to me this morning.
Not.
Your life is about what God has for you.
Hallelujah.
You are His creation. You're only here as a result of His pleasure in bringing you here. And so everything about you, it's also about His pleasure for you. Now, if that disturbs something because that makes God everything and it makes us nothing, then hey, live with it, deal with it, because that's the way it is. Well, I'm glad that's the way it is. My Creator and my Maker. Fire! Hallelujah! Even when I go down the rocky roads, and the turbulence of time, mm-hmm. I'm always encouraged. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because I know he loves me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He loves me in the fact of who I am.
Yes.
His son positioned me in the body of Christ. That's who I am. I'm a member of his body. And this is what causes me to understand that all things work together. No. Let's make it a little bit more specific. He worketh all things together. For good. So what seems bad is actually good.
It is.
Old Testament. Joseph being sold. Was that bad or good? Well, at the time, you know. Time-wise, it seems bad. Eternally is good. Seems bad. Eternally good.
Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Stone. Left for dead. Uh-huh. Is that good or is that bad? Uh-huh. In time, bad. But God caught him up. Oh my God. Yeah. See, I heard some things I cannot even begin to convey to you. I think it says in the King James unlawful, but that word nomos is not in there.
Not there.
The Greek word is unalterable. In other words, I know what I heard, but I just can't repeat it because there's no language to do so. Oh, give him a praise this morning. Said the vernacular, we're sitting on a pot of gold. God help us to appreciate and comprehend first what in Christ actually means.
Glory to God, yes.
Who you are, what you are. In relativism to who he is. Most of us, we just walk around and all we think about is the moment-to-moment interfacing, confrontations, and how they make me feel at that moment. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul speaks about a weightier glory. And if he looked at the weight of the glory, he, my God, which is the purpose, he calls the process light. Light affliction.
Light.
Momentary.
Momentary.
Light because it's quick. Yet what it redounds to is eternal. A weight of your glory. Do a little sidebar. Let's go to Second Corinthians. Where were we last time I was here? Second Corinthians over there, 2:14. Yeah, find that, Brother Deacon, where he's saying that all is to him, and it's leading us in triumph procession. That because of what we go through, we become trophies by which the glory of God is put on display. And so Paul starts it out and says, thanks to God. Have you found that?
Yes.
All right. Call that scripture, Brother Deacon. Everybody turn to it.
I'm reading from the book of 2 Corinthians.
I might not get where I thought I was going, but amen. It's not about me. Go ahead.
2 Corinthians, mm-hmm. chapter 2, beginning verse 14, King James Version. Now thanks be unto God, mm-hmm. which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place.
Go to the Greek.
Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, interlineal Greek text. But to God, thanks. Mm-hmm. The always leading in triumph us in Christ. And the order of the knowledge of him.
You said the one that's italicized. Read that again. Let's go. What you have there is as I look at that that Greek word there is two. Okay, let's read that again.
But to God mm-hmm. thanks, the
always. Everybody say the always. Specifically, mm-hmm. what is always?
Always.
Here we have the Greek verb here, diabempunti, which is literally translated leading in procession. Follow me now. When I look at the History Channel and any other medium, when one nation conquers another, what is it they do to commemorate and accentuate the fact that they have conquered? What do they have? A parade. Parade. The soldiers. In ancient time, they would take the captives, and sometimes they have done that also, and parade them through also. To not only show that we are conquerors, but also, amen, put on this display those that have been conquered.
That's it. Amen.
Follow me now. The literal translation is leading in possession. So what God does, he takes these things, and as he causes us to triumph, there's a possession in relationship to glorify God. How? Through the testimony. I thought that thing was going
to
kill me.
Jesus,
but here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Not conquering me, but conquered. So that the things in life,
yes, come on,
may come.
Yes.
And God delivers. No, in his way. That don't mean he healed, he saw. No. What did God say to Paul? My grace is sufficient.
My grace.
You know, Paul prayed three times. He prayed three times to be delivered from his infirmity. And I people say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. God answered Paul's prayer. His answer was, Paul, leave that thing alone. What you're trying to move is your trophy. Oh, my God. Oh.
Glory to God. Thank God.
Your weakness is my strength. Worried about, all upset about, can't live until that's removed. That mountain is your trophy. God didn't bring it there to move it. He brought it there to use it in the procession. Think of some things in my life that are still there. God put them there for the glory. But they're no longer a burden. They're not moved. But they're not a burden. They're trophies. Because he has brought me to the place where I understand that they are not designed to work against me, but for me. Egypt and Israel doesn't get fed unless Joseph is thrown into a pit. Sold into slavery. Lied upon by Potiphar's wife. Thrown into prison. And ultimately, two nations. And so Joseph said to his brothers, process wise, you meant it for evil. Purpose wise, God meant it for good. And we got to understand the things about life. Why is it there? You know, when I was growing up, the old folk, and I love them, including my parents. Something bad happens, or supposedly bad happens, they started looking to see what you've done. That frightened me because I saw a lot of bad. Then I saw good things happen to people who were doing bad things. I'm talking about God's people now. So I would think, if it's God getting them for the bad, why didn't he get them for that? And as I grew older, I started thinking of some bad things I've done. So why didn't God get me? Why didn't he strike me down? It's not about you. It always leads us into triumph possession. Finish that over the deacon. That's what he's saying. Everybody said triumph possession.
Triumph possession.
But to God thanks, the always leading in triumph us in Christ.
Stop. Now you won't understand the triumph possession. If you got the locale wrong.
All right now. All right. All right.
If it's in what you call the matrix or life in you, in physicality, you probably won't get there. This is all about Christ being magnified. After Paul realized what was going on, He said, I would much rather glory in my infirmaries. You know what rather means? Somebody said, Paul was crazy. No. Here's a man, by his own testament, testimony, as I've said over 14 years, God caught me up, and I heard things, and when I came back, not only am I willing to live for him, I'm willing to die for him. What is it, Paul? The essence of life is not what you think it is. Whatever God has on the agenda for you is working for you, not against you. Well, I lost my job. Working for you. I lost my relative. It works for you. And let me say this about death. Most of us can't deal with it or understand death because we don't really understand what it does. Death separates you from time. That separate. Follow me this morning. And so Jesus wasn't double talking when he said he that believeth in me shall never die. Picked that thing up and it went to a litany of things. And when he finished, he said, no, any other thing, but I'm persuaded none of these things can kill me, if you're going to use that terminology, can separate me. Yeah. It may separate you from time.
That's it.
But it never separates you from him.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
He is life.
Thank you.
You cannot be separated from the true essence of life. But most of us see our existence simply in what we're going through each day and what we're going so forth and so on. If this was it, why is it so short?
Wow.
That's it.
Sure. It don't seem short to me. Long, it means a long time. 100 years, 1,200 months. 36,500 and some odd days compared to forever. My friend, that's quick. You're born. First, you're a baby, then a toddler, then an adolescent, then a teenager. Then a young person. Then a middle-aged person. Then you get like me. We don't like that word, do we? Old. It simply means the final lap. Oh, most of us, we can't stand that. Somebody, don't talk about it. I'm 70 years old. You add 15 to that, 85.
Uh-oh.
You add 20 to that, 90. And well, it's up to the Lord, but I have no problem not taking this body that far. Not with all these aches and pains I got, but of course, whatever the Lord says. You see, even in the natural vernacular, you don't mind moving out of a shack if you're going into a mansion. But even more than that, if you were eternally placed in Christ, you don't have no super problems about your conscience moving out of this depraved flesh. That's after God's purpose has been fulfilled in the flesh.
Yes.
Oh, you're moving.
Oh, yeah.
I was The other day, a song came to me, and I don't know. Sometimes I get these flashbacks. A little boy, old saint used to sing the song. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. You may be rich. You may be poor. You may be young. You may be old. But when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Some of y'all looking at me strange. I didn't come here to hear about death. No. I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about life.
That's true. That's so true.
Existence in Christ is life. I'm talking about the essence of where you were before conscious-wise you ever were encapsulated in flesh. I'm talking about eternality where there is no sequencing. Everything just is. And Paul talks about that. One verse, and then I'm just bail out this morning. I know we just won't get where we're going today. But unless y'all let me go about 2-3 hours. Look at those looks. Just kidding. Hey, amen. We're into the home stretch. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43. Yeah, someone asked Paul as he was dealing with eternality and the resurrection. He said, Paul, what kind of body will we rise in? And I know where that comes from because every time I go to homegoing and we get to the cemetery, they start reading from that manual and talking about the general resurrection. And him, quote, cracking the sky and everybody getting up out of the grave. And they got pictures of that kind of stuff there. And remember when somebody had convinced people, what was that, a couple of years ago, that the earth was coming to end on a certain day. So a lot of people went to the graveyard so they'd be near their loved one coming out of the grave together in the rapture. Mm-hmm. You see, this is why you, oh my God. Stay in your gospel. If you don't divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you're a prime candidate for confusion. Amen. So they asked him that. And he said, that's a foolish question. In other words, you missed it. Where were you first? Where? In eternity. And so when he talks about Adam being first man, the first man, natural man, second man, the spiritual man, he's talking about in testimony or manifestation. No way is Paul saying that Adam was before Christ. But then when you get into eternality, there's no sequencing. There's no sequencing. Listen to me. There's no yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Amen.
There's no morning, noon, and night. There's no now and then. In time, everybody said now.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now that's classified as what was. And to say then, what does the future mean in time? Because then becomes now. And then now become what was. So yesterday becomes today, and then, don't worry, it's not going to stay there. It becomes tomorrow. Same thing with your problems and the situations of your life. So here in 43 and 44, and those two we read it, then I'm going to bail out. Everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43, amen? Read.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 43 and 44 from the King James Version. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body.
Now, in relationship to it, he spoke of different types of flesh, bodies, terrestrial, which means earthly, celestial, which means the heavenlies, that's the cosmos. And he's saying one and the other are the same in eternity, in eternality. Each of those things that he mentioned, and what were they? What were they?
Present indicatives.
They're present indicatives. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about present completions. Mm-hmm. Go through them again, Brother Deacon.
It is sown in dishonor.
Uh-huh.
It is raised in glory.
Stop.
Yes.
The dishonor and the glory are one. That means that wherever it came into being for, it's already accomplished in God's purpose. What was the second one?
It is sown in weakness.
Uh-huh.
It is raised in power.
Stop. Weakness and power are the same. That's what Paul said. As the Lord told him, said, your strength, your weakness, rather, is my strength. Weakness and the strength is all one purpose.
Yes.
In completion.
Amen.
In eternity.
Yes.
Your, my friend, your problem was solved before there ever was a problem. Before it showed up as a problem, the answer was all, it's all in one.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The purpose of God is always in completion. Everything touching your life has already been brought to its culmination, in completion. And it works for you, not against you. Because of who you are.
Always. Hallelujah.
So even as we view things in time, we should overview them in the sense of eternity. Who are you? Member of the body of Christ. Where are you? In Christ.
In Christ.
No, I'm not. I'm walking around. This and that. All right, then which one of you? I mean, at one time you were an infant. In fact, one time you were a seed and germinated and forming in the womb of your mother's belly.
Glory
to God. That was you. That infant was you. That toddler was you. That adolescent that was running your mother crazy, you. And that teenager that almost drove your parent out of their mind, that's you. Young man. I think about when I was young, I absolutely have to say that was me. I used to run 2 or 3 miles. Now, if I start from here to the back of that church, I'm like, so yeah, that was me. middle age, I was still going strong. When we first got here, I was in my 50s. You know what I used to do? Office is up there. There were no restrooms. If I had to go to the restroom, I had to not go to this floor, to that restroom, because it wasn't there. Down in the basement. Then I would run up the steps from downstairs up to this level, and then from this level up to that level. Boy, that would kill me now. In fact, if I got up from the basement to this level, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Charlie? So, well, that was me. And now, here I am. Then when it's checkout time, where am I? Who am I? Where I was in eternity before I was ever testimonially placed into the time capsule.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
According as he chose us in him. When? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Mm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. How many love the Lord this morning?
Praise
Give him a praise.
God.
Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
All right, we take it up next week.